Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history. I did a show recently with Mike and Brandt, both of whom have traveled to different parts of Africa, and Mike has traveled to Africa a lot. And after we did the show, Mike sent me some videos which were fun, and we had a good laugh at Black African technology and creativity. But then as I was looking at these videos, and I got a few more videos of my own, I thought that it would be a good lesson to allow whites to study blacks, and to study blacks and whites, and just look at how different our levels of skill are. It is truly horrifying how backward whites have gone in the last 120 years. And when I say backward, I mean backward with regard to our understanding of humans. This terrible darkness that is descending upon Western civilization is a darkness of pure stupidity, and it horrifies me when I see the kinds of things that whites have come to believe. But the source of this is Jews and liberals. Jews and liberals are creating a darkness, an intellectual darkness. Academics have spoken about the dark ages in Europe, but I must tell you that Jews and liberals are taking our entire civilization into levels of darkness and total stupidity combined with weakness. And as a civilization, we are becoming very stupid. The stupidity is not a result of our civilization being faulty. The stupidity is coming from people with a firm agenda, and that agenda is to fool whites. And the biggest con job is to fool whites that whites are equal to everybody else, especially equal to blacks, which is pure insanity. On the social media, somebody published this lovely meme that you see on the left. It gives examples of signs. Do not breathe under the water. Caution, water on road during rain. Caution, trees don't move. Caution, fire is hot. And it says, the need for signs like this proves that stupid people do exist. But the real thing that this meme is not telling you is that these kinds of signs and things were never required when civilization was totally dominated by whites and whites were a majority. But now that you bring all kinds of lower level humans into previously functional nations, now you have to do all kinds of weird, bizarre, and stupid things to deal with the idiots who are now given equality to whites. They are treated as equals to whites, and the horror is that whites are believing it. But they are believing it because they've been inundated with decades and decades of propaganda. They heard things that they did not realize were propaganda. In the show that I did with Mike and Brandt, they discussed many things that they saw in Africa that were weird. And that show will be put out separately. But this thing of the videos of showing things that blacks try in Africa and how pathetic and silly it is really got me thinking. What I want to share with you are those videos plus some additional ones that I got hold of so that you can kind of compare apples with apples. What happens when you've got blacks who are creative and they've got some kind of ambition to try and do some inventing, and they use their meager resources to try and invent something? And then what happens when you get whites who also are in a similar situation and they want to invent something with their meager resources? What are the differences that come out from that? And what do these blacks say when you question them and when you ask them, why is their project failing? I thought that this would be quite an educational thing because it's combined with visual stuff. And you can take a lot of information in and look at it and look at it carefully. And then it should be clear to you that there's no ways in hell that you can even begin to compare the thinking of white men with the skill that the white men have and compare that to black thinking and black skills. We just aren't in the same league at all. And this will also give you an idea of how totally dysfunctional Africa is. And in the shows that I've done with Mike and Brandt, they have brought out their own observations of some of the ridiculous and disgusting things that they saw in Africa. And that stuff is discussed in the show that we did, which will be going online in the coming weeks. But I thought that rather than just laugh at some of these things and then move on, that one should actually take a little bit more time to study the film footage more closely and to actually think about it more carefully. And then you will grasp more clearly the vast differences between whites and blacks. Because that is one of the biggest Jewish con jobs that has fooled the vast majority of whites. I have done similar kinds of videos. I did one about leadership and how Jews have managed to fool the whole world, the whole Western world, into thinking that white leadership and black leadership are the same thing. In a recent video, I did a video about witchcraft in Africa and some of the madness and total stupidity that came out of that as well, so that you can see that Western society, American society, and African society are two completely different things. And what white Americans need to grasp, and they don't realize this, is that when you've got a lot of whites in a country and you've got some blacks there, that the whites are able to make the blacks more functional because the whites have got a functional society. And having a functional society allows you to get away with certain things. But as the non-whites pour in, and as the immigrants pour in, and as these refugees pour in, they will bring your levels and standards down, and eventually the country will break. So let's have a bit of fun, but it's going to be fun with a serious view so that you can try to understand and grasp clearly the vast chasm that separates us. And this is just the beginning of racial differences. Racial differences become much more subtle when it's whites and Jews and others. But this should be racial differences 101 to wake you up to the fact that we are not the same, not by a mile. Now let's have some fun looking at black African science and engineering and blacks who want to be the Wright brothers of Africa. What follows are a bunch of videos. Most of them are videos that Mike found, but there are a couple that I added in. Right in the beginning is a bit of film footage of blacks who celebrate the completion of what seems to be a very small bridge, and it doesn't quite go according to plan. The piece is very short, so I actually repeat it twice. Then you can see exactly what goes on. The whole thing of blacks building bridges is almost another topic by itself in Africa, but you'll get to see this tiny bridge and you'll see what goes wrong. And you'd have to ask yourself, whites have been building bridges for thousands of years. I've never gone to look to see how long we've been building bridges, but it's got to be thousands of years. and the Romans were building very, very advanced bridges 2,000 years ago. But the real meat of these videos are the ones to do with blacks wanting to build aircraft and helicopters. And you'll get a chance to see them with their dreams, their hopes and dreams, and then the things that they get up to, and then the things that they try, and you'll see them fail. But I'll bet you that virtually every single one of you will have no problem whatsoever looking at these things and being able to come up with reasons why that thing is going to fail. Then it gets more interesting in that there's a guy further on who actually is preparing. He's much more ambitious, actually. He doesn't just want to go with doing an aircraft or a helicopter. He's going straight for a jet, okay? So for him, it's straight to a jet aircraft. And in actual fact, he then wants to put a satellite in space within 4 to 5 years. Now, it's one thing to watch these blacks and have a laugh at them, but I urge you to actually listen to them speaking and listen to their reasoning. From what I can see, all these blacks who are doing these things, they're in different black African countries, and they seem to be from former British colonies. So they speak English properly or relatively properly, and you should have no problem understanding them. And they are acting like Americans and Englishmen for the most part. And you'll see that when things go wrong and they are interviewed and questioned about what they are doing, listen to their reasoning and to the things that they say. There is one black guy who's got an aircraft, and this aircraft of his goes off the runway. But you have to see it to believe it, okay? And if you look at the guy whose aircraft eventually goes off the runway and the aircraft breaks, I think he's a computer guy as well, hey? So just look at the whole setup of what they do, how they do it, what goes wrong, and just look at this and ask yourself a bunch of questions about it, you know? These people clearly have got no conception of even the most basic mechanics. Look at the quotes runway and ask yourself if any plane could have taken off from the runway. Look at the things that break, and then listen to the guy explaining what's wrong. And if you really know even the slightest thing about a bit of engineering or anything, you'll be able to point to all kinds of stuff. You'll have a long, long list of everything that is wrong with that thing. But notice the black as he comes forward and he explains what's wrong and what needs to be fixed. Another guy that's really worth looking at is the guy who wants to build the jet aircraft. And so the blacks are already at work with their jet aircraft. And and then this guy, by the way, I think has received something like $80,000. He's already received $80,000 for his project. Not only that, but he's actually gone and spoken to the government, and the government has actually given him an unspecified amount of money. Maybe it's not that much money, but it's amazing that the government has even given him some money or pledged some money. And this black guy is talking, and he's talking about getting a satellite up within 4 to 5 years, etc. But another fascinating aspect of that is watch how they go and interview blacks in the city. And you'll see that there are cars driving, there are high-rise buildings. All of these things are, of course, built by Western money and funds, etc. So these blacks are living in Africa, but it's basically, you'll see, it's basically European influence. You'll see cars and roads and all the stuff that you're used to in a city. And then they go and they ask the blacks on the street, and they say to them, you know, there's this guy and he's going to do this. And, you know, what do you think about a space program and satellites? And just watch how those blacks talk. They talk as if they are living in America. They talk as if they're living in America or Germany or England. And they are saying, yes, yes, that's a good idea. And it would be good for the people and, you know, space. Yeah, good thing. They don't even ask questions like, can our government afford this? Do we have the technology to do this? None of the above. None of the above. They're just, yeah, yeah, this is a great idea. And off we go. And yeah, we can do it. It's something our nation can do. No problem. So just look at them. It's like they are going through all the motions of being whites living in America with the resources of America. But in actual fact, it's not even close. Nowhere in their dreams can they come even close to any of this. But they're talking up a storm. And this is something I saw in South Africa when I worked in the corporate world. Once you get these blacks and non-whites talking, they're talking like we are able to build a rocket that can go to the moon next week. And they talk like that, but they have no conception of what it really means, whether they can do it, and they just basically mimic. And I think of these blacks as black Englishmen. These are the black Englishmen of Africa. And they act in every way like whites. But in reality, they can't do a fraction of what whites can do. The very last bit of film footage is the Ugandan helicopter. And at least the helicopter, at least the helicopter can start. It starts up the engine and the engine is carrying on. But look at the helicopter. Just look at it closely. And ask yourself, you know, could this thing even fly? So you'll see that all the inspiration that these blacks have got is that they are trying to do what they've seen the white man can do. In fact, in one of those videos, there are blacks who are saying that it's not only the whites that can do this. They are also going to show that they can do it too. So check this stuff out and look at these people. And look at them and then listen to what comes out of their mouths and look at what they can do. And then, you know, this should show you, if nothing else, this should show you that we are in no ways their equal. We are not equal to them. At least white people know their limitations. But you'll see that thanks to Jews, liberals, and communists, blacks no longer think that they've got limitations, and they are vastly overconfident and they vastly overstate their abilities. Just have a look at this.
He dreams of soaring with the birds in an aircraft built with his own two hands. 12 other aircrafts he has built before have all failed to take off. He hopes things will be different this time, the 13th time. The engines roar to life, and then Upendo is out of his hands and down what passes as a runway. For a few glorious seconds, Upendo is airborne, and then it crashes to the ground. Another dream dashed. 13 is not a lucky number after all.
And when the time came, The homemade plane was towered by a car to gain the required speed to take off, but seemed to be more obsessed with the ground than the air, failing to take off.
We had our first test flight on 25th of November. We tested the speed of the aircraft and it was okay. But we had some little hitches with the engine. So we are seeking for funds, sponsorships from the corporate bodies, government, and other institutions who are willing to help come on board so that they help us develop this aircraft.
I've been having dreams of flying ever since I was young, but I have not had the support to fly.
The 45-year-old used to watch President Hastings Banda's chopper as a child, sparking a lifelong passion for helicopters. After years of planning and watching war movies, he decided to build one of his own.
My intention is to show to Malawi that Malawians too can do what the whites do.
We had some challenges with the wiring system resulting in short circuits, but slowly everything has been sorted out.
Felix is eager to take to the skies, but he's been warned against taking a test flight before the Civil Aviation Authority's approval. If his first flight is successful, Felix will be flying into the history books with his homemade helicopter and his sky-high ambitions.
Thursday last week, Gabriel Nderitu was confident his twin-seater aircraft was ready for trials, a step that would either elevate him to a pioneer in aircraft manufacturing in Kenya or leave him trying. But he encountered the first challenge at his backyard. The plane would not fit into the truck he had hired to transport it to Kangundo for the trials. But Gabriel and his team did not anticipate the mishap that followed. The plane collapsed. But that did not mean the end of the road. The mechanics did their part to restore it. And the IT specialist turned pilot, who admits has never seen the inside of a cockpit, did his. The second and third day ended without much success. But by Sunday, the team had done everything in their power to get this plane powered by a Toyota NZE engine and a chloride exide battery to make sure it would fly.
Even if we are able to make it 3 feet or 4 feet, we believe we will have moved a big step.
So in a spirited mood, they gave the aircraft the push they thought it needed to gain momentum for takeoff. A crowd had formed, anxious to see a potentially historic moment. But just when it seemed ready to take the leap, it diverted from the runway and collapsed once again. Gabriel was heartbroken, but surprisingly, his spirit was unbroken.
I'll go back to the drawing board and design the landing gear better and also study a little bit more about the landing gear.
According to his judgment, the problem lies in the rear wheels. He says it is clear they can't support the weight of the 800 kg plane. In a month's time, Gabriel expects to be back here for a second trial.
Got quite a bit of reserve wheel power, And I think the small hiccups are more so nothing to do with the aerodynamics. They are more so to do with small practicalities like sparking plugs, nothing to do with the aerodynamics.
When you dream big, you have to start somewhere. For Chris Nsamba, the founder of the African Space Research Program, that entails using his back garden to construct Uganda's first jet aircraft, ahead of the planned launch of a satellite into space.
Okay, we are supposed to at least have a probe in the lower orbit of the Earth, at least in the next 4 to 5 years.
There is still a long way to go. The engine for this prototype is yet to be built. Chris and his team are just putting the finishing touches to a shell. And they will have to build a much more robust machine from scratch in order to realize his dreams. But his volunteers appear willing to put their lives in his hands.
As we take this project up, I expect to be one of the participating flying pilots for this project.
So far, the program has received a modest $80,000 or so in private donations. But its prospects have been boosted by an official pledge of support from Uganda's government, which is donating an undisclosed sum.
The president has talked to them on phone, and based on my report, he has agreed to give them some support.
Reaction to the government's backing for the space program from citizens on the streets of the capital, Kampala, has been largely positive.
Right now we have the priorities to be invested in money like construction of roads, construction of hospitals, even the healthcare is in a very bad state. It's really a good idea, but it needs some time to invest money.
Space research to me I think is very important, it's very paramount because first of all it will educate our people.
But Chris's ambitions haven't always been viewed favorably. And he admits that even now, people sometimes think he's mad.
When we are done with our work, when we are done with a project, it does that talking on our behalf. So that's not really an issue of being called crazy.
The development of a thick skin leaves Chris confident that he can deal with the many ups and downs that will surely confront him in the years ahead.
So that is black engineering. And notice these blacks are building their own aircraft. These are private blacks. These are, let's call it the inventor blacks. And these inventor blacks are doing this. But I want to draw your attention to a simple fact that never at any time in any black African nation have blacks, even as a government, built a motor car or a truck or a tractor. Across all of Africa, there has never once been an occasion where blacks, as a government, as a nation, have even built a motor car. Just let that sink in. That even blacks who have got government powers and funding, and they've got access to the best of black science, the best of black engineering, that they've not even put together a factory to build a motor car or a truck or any other simple wheeled vehicle for their nation. They've not done that. Nowhere across Africa. Not even in Nigeria, which has got 200 million blacks. There are lots of black countries that have got big populations, they've got big budgets, and they've never even invented one such thing. They've never said, well, you know, those cars that we're getting from, you know, let's say Germany are too expensive. We want to make a cheaper car for us. They don't do that. You'll see the Asians have done that, but not the blacks. But the Asians have a much higher IQ than blacks because the Asians come from the northern climes where it's colder and survival is tougher. But just let that sink in, that blacks have not even developed wheeled vehicles, never mind aircraft and helicopters and all that kind of stuff. I was thinking about the black guy who got $80,000 for his jet aircraft. And I think that he is more of one of these marketing types. I noticed this in the corporate world, that if you talk big and you talk bold, then you get money more easily. So if you talk big and bold, you can get money. So that might have been his strategy, and clearly it's working. I'm astounded that he got $80,000. I must tell you that that aircraft frame there didn't cost $80,000. He's walking away with a huge profit for what he's doing. And if he still managed to get some money out of the government, then wow. For those of you who watched my video about black witchcraft, you'll remember the story of the black woman who was a witch and she could knock on a rock with a stick and diesel would come out, and that she fooled the Zimbabwe government, I think, for about 15 months. And they were paying her money, and they were even sending somebody to guard her, and they even sent someone to guard the special rock where the diesel came out of. And she fooled the Zimbabwe government for 15 months. So you've got a similar thing going on with this black, with this jet aircraft that's then going to lead to space travel and satellites. He's pretty sharp at marketing, and that's as far as it goes. Now, some of you may turn around and, you know, whites are always critical of themselves, and whites may turn around and say, oh, well, you know, you can't sit and laugh at the blacks because the blacks are poor. You know something? You really have to start looking at the concept of might is right. That if people end up poor and useless, maybe it's because they deserve it. If those people are poor, maybe it's for a reason. Instead of always feeling sorry for them and feeling sorry for them as a nation and as individuals, whites need to get away from that kind of thing. Because what you don't know, which those of us who live in Africa know, is how stupid these people are, how much they waste, and the nonsense that they get up to. I have absolutely no sympathy for them because I know how much they waste and how absolutely disgusting their decisions are. Maybe when I show you more about colonialism and what whites have done, then you'll see it from another angle. But you might still say, well, these are blacks and they did it at their homes. They did it in their backyard and that was the best that they could come up with. You can't compare them to whites. You'd say whites have got a lot more resources. Whites just would go to a factory, etc. Well, let's go and take a quick look at what whites have done with things that they created literally in their backyard. And what I'm about to show you is from decades ago in America. This is actually stuff that some British filmed in America. And you're going to see some crazy white guys, crazy white men, also with dreams just like those blacks. These crazy white Americans had dreams just like those blacks. And they also went and they did things and tinkered with things. And you're going to see stuff that was built by white Americans. All kinds of flying and semi-flying things that they come up with. Take a good look at this and you'll see that these guys, for the most part, managed to get into the air. And look at what they did. And some of it's very dangerous. You'll see the guy with his airship. And some of these people could have been seriously injured, some of these whites. But look at what these whites were doing with no safety equipment and stuff like in modern times. Look at them and look at the risks they took. And all of this is backyard stuff. And look at their backyard stuff and how it worked. One of my favorites is the very last item, which is the guy who built himself the, quote, amphibious helicopter. Take a look at that little thing that this white American built and he flies it. And I think it's a very clever design. I think it's pretty wild and pretty cool. And it's actually amazingly stable. Check out the guy who builds himself a little hovercraft. But the guy with the airship, that airship is quite dangerous. And also just with a simple little engine, it doesn't even run properly, etc. In this piece of film footage, it actually has got a little bit of black engineering from America. There's a black guy and he's actually built himself a little car. And at least the black American, unlike the blacks of Africa, at least the black American knows his limitations. And he builds himself a little car that he can actually drive and which actually works. So that's pretty cool. He's actually probably done better than any of the blacks in Africa. But also, remember, the blacks in America have lived with whites for over 100 years by the time this video was done. They will have lived with whites for well over 100 years. So they've had a lot of chance to learn from whites. But my favorite guy in this film footage is the guy who's the cowboy. The cowboy who builds an aircraft in his backyard. Go check out the cowboy. Here's the film footage. Thank you.
plane, it's a cycle. It's super amphibious. Actually, it's in the helicopter family. A single-place job with typical motorcycle handlebar steering and standard outboard racing model engine. At the controls of the craft they're calling the Helivector is the man who developed it, Lewis C. McCarty. Roll and pitch are accomplished merely by shifting the pilot's weight. The test flight is in suburban New York. Not too much height today, but for an extra eyeful, no hands. Who knows, commuters, this could be your 5:15 of tomorrow. Down to a pontoon landing in the water. And as the motor purrs to a halt, we say farewell for now to a unique flying machine.
Now, just because blacks can build something that looks like, or partly looks like, a helicopter or an aircraft, doesn't mean it can actually fly. Just because it has the very basic shape of it, doesn't mean that the blacks have even achieved 1,000th of the amount of effort that is really needed in order to do such a thing. In fact, you could say they probably haven't done 100,000th, maybe even 1,000,000th of the actual work that's needed to actually make something fly and function. Yet you'll have seen most of those things that those white guys did, and they are white Americans, most of those things could actually work and could actually fly. So that is a very important point. Even if those things were just experimental devices, and they can't run for, 100 hours at a time or do a whole bunch of heavy stuff, the fact that they could actually lift someone off the ground, that is amazing compared to those blacks. Those blacks had things that were too heavy, too slow, underpowered, badly designed. Those things would never get off the ground unless... unless you had like a freaking very potent jet engine attached to it, in which case it would probably fall apart, But those white guys could actually build something that can actually function and can lift someone off the ground. My absolute favorite in that film footage, apart from the amphibious helicopter, I loved the amphibious helicopter for its stability, etc., because to actually do that kind of thing, that thing can tip over. That guy could fall down into the rotor blades and be seriously injured, if not killed. Yet, his design is nice and stable and he can fly around a little bit. Might not have been able to go that high, but that damn thing works, okay? And it's pretty impressive. But my absolute favorite guy in that film footage was the cowboy. The cowboy blew me away. In various reading that I've done of various scientific and engineering things that I came across, I have come across more than one instance where white American rural boys, farm boys, were busy teaching themselves stuff, teaching themselves electronics or electrical stuff. And he's just a farm boy and he isn't in the city and he's got to buy a magazine. And these guys that I'm talking about were people who lived well over 120, 130 years ago. There was one story I came across that blew my mind, and I'd have to go hunting for it again sometime. But there was a farm boy, a white farm boy in America, and he decided to learn electrical stuff. And he read magazines and he started coming up with ideas. That young farm boy created a telephone. He created it maybe even slightly before the telephone was invented properly. But he created it, built it, and it worked. and he just didn't get the patent in on time or something like that. A white American farm boy. That blew my mind. And he was matching others who were scientists and engineers. So let me tell you why that American cowboy with his homemade aircraft impressed the hell out of me. That man has got so many qualities that are awesome. He's maybe a bit of a wild character. That's probably putting it mildly. He's a wild character. But I really loved the way that he got there with his aircraft. He even freaking pulled his aircraft along by himself. He didn't even have anybody to help him. But he built his aircraft. And when he starts the thing, he clearly hasn't put brakes or anything on there. But he's not fazed at all. And as he starts that engine, it's clearly a powerful engine and he starts it himself. I mean, that engine can kill him. It can cut him to shreds. He starts the engine, it's powerful, and the engine already starts pulling the aircraft along. But hey, he's not hassled and he jumps on the freaking wing and he climbs into the plane while the bloody thing is going. That's not what normal engineers would do, by the way. So this is a wild guy, but his wild thing is working, and I checked again and again, that is his plane that comes back and that flies, and it flies. So that crazy white cowboy, that crazy white American cowboy with his homemade aircraft, that thing actually freaking flies. If there was the slightest thing wrong with that aircraft, the slightest thing wrong with it, with either the wings or the tail, that thing would not have been able to fly. The fact that he actually flew, and it has a very powerful engine, and it's flying very nicely. I was stunned by that. You Americans have always had a can-do kind of attitude. It's something that you're known for. You have your American dream, your can-do attitude. You face problems, you overcome problems. And to me, that cowboy with his homemade aircraft, that guy really signifies the wild white side, the wild white can-do side of America. But America can do excellent stuff. White Americans can do amazing things. But that guy has got a spirit about him, but it's not just a spirit. He has the IQ to match it. He could have had all the spirit in the world, but if he was as dumb as those blacks of Africa, his plane would never have lifted off. But he symbolizes a real can-do kind of white guy. And he hacks his plane together, but his damn plane, whether hacked or not, it freaking works. And I really like that approach to life. That is very much a colonial kind of approach to life. It is similar to the kinds of approach that whites in Africa had. Boers had it, Rhodesians had it, whites had it all across Africa. Not maybe as wild as that guy, but we had that kind of approach that we solve problems. And we solve problems with what little we have. The Boers even have a term for it, and the term is a Boer maak 'n plan. And the translation for that is a Boer makes a plan. And it's meant for the fact that when you are sitting with a problem and you don't have the means to really solve it, you sit down and you anyway try to figure out a way to solve your problem. So that American cowboy, that wild guy, he's doing a Boer maak 'n plan kind of a thing. And his thing works, okay? That guy has got a better aircraft than any of those blacks and those teams of blacks. And look at him. He's so gotten together. I like him so much. He freaking even drags his own flipping plane there. And he doesn't have anybody to help him. He does everything himself. And he's not a crybaby, jumps on the bloody thing, flies, takes his risks. That man is awesome. I like that man a hell of a lot. He's maybe a little bit too wild, but I like that man a lot. You know, if white men had that kind of attitude, there is nothing that would hold us back. Really, that is the correct attitude to have. And you Americans, you should build a statue to that guy. I like that guy a lot. I don't know who he is, but I like that man. That man is a man who's not a pussy. He's clever. He makes a plan. He gets his thing done. And never at any time is he afraid. He does a dangerous fucking thing. And he makes like it's nothing. That man is fucking awesome. I like that man a lot. So what we'll end off with today for today's episode is a bit of film footage of the Wright brothers. Because these blacks in Africa are basically trying to do what the Wright brothers pulled off in America in 1903. So these blacks are trying to do 120 years later what the American Wright brothers did 120 years ago. These blacks, by the way, and make no mistake, you've got to take this into account. These blacks have got the advantage of knowledge. They've got the advantage that they have seen aircraft fly. They know what designs work. They have been exposed to engines, to electrical stuff. They've been exposed to very probably the internet. They've been exposed to all kinds of modern electronics. Take note of the one black guy who is in computers. The blacks described him as an IT specialist. So that is a very high-sounding name. It's a high-sounding position, IT specialist. Normally a term like that would mean somebody is very technical and perhaps has wide knowledge and very intensive knowledge about certain things. So that is what that name conjures up and would mean in white society. I don't know if he was a computer programmer. I have no idea. But okay, he worked with computers. He must have done something where he could press the buttons and do something with software in some way. Even if all that he did was maybe installed programs and just looked after a server or something. Let's give him some credit, okay? So he's had exposure to a thing like a computer. But the Wright brothers never saw or knew what a computer was. The Wright brothers never had any indication at all of what could fly. So the Wright brothers did not have 20/20 hindsight. The Wright brothers did not have 20/20 hindsight, which could tell them, the plane needs so many wings, it needs so many engines, it needs this, it needs that, this thing can fly, that thing can't fly. The Wright brothers had none of the above. They had to work out their solutions themselves. No internet. At best, they could read books and maybe read books and magazines and speak to people. And that's it. And nobody has had a chance to actually succeed at that. So everything they're doing is totally experimental. Everything is totally experimental. So look at this piece of film footage of these Wright brothers and their strange aircraft that they came up with. Look closely at the wonderful engineering of that aircraft. They knew about the fact that they have to have a certain amount of power for the weight of the aircraft. They had to build the aircraft as light as possible. Look at the beautiful engineering on those propellers. They had to have designed that and thought it through and said, this will give us the best result. I'll bet you tons and tons of work went into things like the propellers. How are they going to get that engine to work? Again, remember, these are old engines. It's not like these blacks who can look back on 120 years of engine design and what engines have been produced. Tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of engines have been designed by whites, by Asians, etc. The blacks have got all this past knowledge that they can look at, but the Wright brothers didn't. So now I want you to sit back and think. Here is a black in Africa. A black in Africa who's got some kind of computer background. And he can't even come to 1% as close to flying as the Wright brothers did 120 years ago. But who were the Wright brothers? The Wright brothers were a bunch of bicycle mechanics. They were white bicycle mechanics, but the black has worked with computers, and that's the best he could come up with. But those bicycle mechanics, white bicycle mechanics, did a far superior job. And if you watch that video carefully, look at all the kinds of little things that they did. You'll even see an amazing thing. They've got a little tower. Take a look at that tower. It might have been made of wood. I'm not sure. And you'll see the men pulling on a rope and they are lifting up a very heavy weight. There's a very heavy weight that they're pulling up into that tower. And that weight actually pulls their aircraft along. That weight actually gives that aircraft of theirs acceleration. Compare the Wright brothers using that weight to give their little aircraft acceleration so that it can reach a higher speed. Compare it to the blacks who were pushing the aircraft through the muddy path. Just sit and think about that. The blacks were pushing their aircraft through a muddy path. You know, not even a 747 or any other jet aircraft would ever be able to take off from their muddy runway. But there the blacks are, they're giving it some pushing power, but it won't be able to give it the speed. But the Wright brothers solved the problem by having a tower with a weight. And you'll check how that aircraft takes off. All the film footage I've seen says that this was the very first flight by the Wright brothers. All the film footage says that. But I thought that the Wright brothers actually just flew straight and that they flew a distance and that they then landed. Whereas in this film footage, you can see the plane is actually turning and twisting and landing. So I'm a little bit skeptical that this was the very first film footage. But I've seen multiple versions of this video, and everybody says the same thing, that it was the first flight. But regardless of whether it was the first flight or the 10th flight, it doesn't matter. You are seeing what those bicycle mechanics came up with. Another thing is, look at how they managed to have their wheels that they attach underneath the plane, because the plane actually slides along. But when they want to pull it with their old car, they put wheels underneath it and they can tow it and the other guys just hold on to the wings. Just look at all the little things that the white men have done in order to achieve their job and make their aircraft work and not have their aircraft get damaged and broken. Whereas the blacks, their stuff was breaking and carrying on. But look at the Wright brothers. And so the thing I'd like to leave you with is, compare the black IT specialist. Compare the black computer guy in this day and age with the white Wright brothers, who were mere bicycle mechanics. They didn't have any education. They didn't have anything to look back on. They had to use their own brains. They had to use their own abilities and take their own risks. And look at what they accomplished. So when you look at white and black society and you hear, oh, there's a black guy, he's the president. There's a black guy, he's a general. There's a black guy, he's an engineer. There's a black guy, he's a scientist. Don't ever fool yourself into believing that, oh, there's a black guy, he's a general or a soldier or an engineer. Therefore, he's the same as a white general, soldier, or engineer. He's not, okay? He's not, not by a million miles. So keep that in mind. Those Wright brothers, they didn't have any of these advantages, and they pulled off a greater feat. And they didn't have any foreknowledge of what would work. They had to figure it out little by little through patience and effort and diligence, and they pulled off that feat. And that should give you an idea of white excellence. The Wright brothers are obviously the correct way to do it. They didn't take all kinds of weird and wild risks. But I like that American cowboy. I really do. He's freaking awesome. And you Americans should never ever for one second, how dare you, believe that you are equal to the blacks. You people are nuts. You've been inundated with endless amounts of Jew crap and Jew propaganda. No bloody way in hell are you people equal to those non-whites and those useless bastards in your country. You people have been giving blacks far too much credit. And even the blacks that you have got, you really give them too much credit. Honest to God, you're not those people's equals. Not by 1,000 miles. So here's the Wright brothers and the Flying Cowboy. That man has got spirit. I like that man. That man is awesome. He'd be awesome in anything. He really has got a lot of spirit, but spirit with brains, and he can do the wild thing and he doesn't get himself hurt. And there's something important that I've forgotten to say in this video, is that all of these blacks in Africa have gone to school. Blacks have gone to school. They have learned math. They have learned all kinds of subjects that you learned. Those blacks would not be able to speak English if they hadn't gone to school to learn to read and write. It's not like those blacks have not had an education. And years ago on African Crisis, I published some details of what the blacks in South Africa were taught under apartheid. And I had a good Canadian supporter come to me and tell me that when he looked through all that stuff, he said that black South Africans got a better education under apartheid than Canadians. He said the South African education system was superior to that of Canada. And all these blacks have gone to school. They know stuff. So it's not like they never learned to read and write. They had to just figure everything out themselves. They all have been to schools. All these black nations have got government schools. They did get an education. So here are the Wright brothers, followed by my favorite man, the Flying Cowboy.
give up, my friend. If you don't see the end, if you don't see the top, don't stop. We know you will win. Every fight.